We did a survey.
We did.
Yeah.
We're doing a survey.
There's a survey
it's
running.
Not, it's not like the survey ended. It is ongoing.
It's going to go for at least one more week.
If you want to continue responding to this thing, please do.
Why do we have a survey?
Because we like data.
Data is important.
Analytics. That's, yes. Numbers.
This is a data-driven podcast. We wanted to find out what you guys thought about the podcast. And the good news is people seem to like us.
I mean, I had planned to just go with my gut, but
I mean,
You seem to like this number-driven approach.
So. Our gut was working, it turns out.
Yeah, really?
Okay. If you would like to contribute to the survey, you can go to survey.content.town and fill out. It'll take like 5 minutes. We'll learn a lot about you. You'll learn about us. You'll learn our undying affection. That's something we promised.
It was nerve-wracking to put ourselves out there this way.
It really was.
But it's been...
But they like us.
Very polite.
Yeah.
Very... Yeah.
People have a lot of good ideas, and we're taking one of them for this very episode. So again, it would really help us out. But this isn't for advertising. Yep. It isn't for anything other than like letting us know how we're doing and helping us figure out the future of the pod.
Genuinely just want to know what people like and what we should do more of and what they hate so we can stop doing that.
I love one person. There's a question that's like, what would you like us to do less? And one person was like, I can't think of anything I want you to do less, but you made me fill out this question. So
that's flattering.
Yeah, don't do that.
Did we have a write-in?
There's a bunch of we maybe put too many write-in options.
Oh boy.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. We can get into the. I don't want to get into results here, but there was one question that is very important. I think.
Okay.
And this banter section is going way long, but I don't care. The question was on the subject of monitors. Should Brad get new monitors? Oh, man. The answers. Let's say number four answer. It was a write-in, so there's like 200 answers, but the four answer is yes. His ancient era, 2003 era monitors are older than I am.
What?
We had 9 respondents that clicked that one.
Oh my God.
The number 3 response was, no, if he waits a few more years, he can convert those tiny displays into DIY VR goggles.
I need to go.
32 people liked that one. The number 2 response was, no, he's happy. Leave him alone.
I'm not
tiny
happy.
Monitor haters.
I'm not happy at all.
Well, look. I'm just reading I don't write these. I'm just reading them.
That's
actually
fair.
I did write that one, but and then the number one answer with 334, 60% of the respondents said yes. Oh please, yes.
Well, I have good news. I am continuing down the road of my monitor journey.
Yes,
I moved on from TFT Central to DisplayNinja.com.
There's a better resource than TFT Central.
I think they're both pretty good.
Okay. It's not a value judgment, but, just a personal preference.
Yes. Display Ninja has a nice 2020 chart broken down by panel type.
Ooh.
By like panel manufacturer, not ASUS or Acer.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, like the people who make the panels for ASUS and Acer.
Like Innolux and AU Optronics, who I've mentioned before, and Panda.
Yeah.
Those are names that you will.
Love those Panda
those
panels.
Those are the names you will become acquainted with if you want to learn who's making the actual screen in your monitor.
So you're feeling good about this? You feeling like 2020 is your year?
I mean, like you said, this is a data-driven podcast. I want to evaluate every single option before I make a decision.
We drive that data real hard.
I've waited 15 years
you
for
this. You look very uncomfortable having this conversation.
I've waited 15 years for this. I'm going to make an informed decision.
We have listeners younger than your monitors, Brad.
I could have, if I was a normal person, I probably could have gone through like, what, 3 monitor cycles in that time? What's the average upgrade cycle or lifespan
I can for tell
somebody's
you.
Monitor? Like, how often do you buy a monitor?
I went from a CRT, like a Sony Trinitron CRT that they were throwing away at work because nobody wanted it anymore because it was too heavy, to a 2405, the big brother of your, the first of the great Dell 24-inch panels. And then I got a 3000, like a 30-inch Dell panel at some point in there, like 2007, 2008. And I used those as like a pair. And then I had that 3000 until I got a wide LG like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And then I got the G-Sync monitor.
That's reasonable.
So I've had probably 5 monitors in the time you've had those.
That's
two.
That's pretty reasonable. Acer just put out a brand new monitor. It's 24-inch. It's got FreeSync, 144 hertz.
Okay.
It's almost everything I want in a monitor, except that it's only 1080p, but it's so cheap. It's like 140.
That's an esports monitor right there.
It's IPS also. The only thing I don't like about it is it's 1080p at 24 inch.
You want a 1440p?
Like, yeah. Like,
okay.
Does that make me sound old?
I mean, everything we've talked about so far.
To say dot pitch, old. Should I say pixel density?
Pixel density.
The pixel density of 1080p at 24 inch is kind of rotten. It's pretty low.
Yeah.
It's pretty low.
It'd be pretty chunky.
Yeah. So that's a deal breaker, but it's so cheap. I'm thinking about
just get one of those and then get something nice for your main monitor and use that one for games and, you know.
Yeah.
Should we start a podcast?
Sure.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Brad and Will Made a Tech Pod. I'm Will.
You are Will. Who am I?
You are Brad.
Right. That's me. Yes.
Hello Brad. It's been a little bit since we did this.
This is an evening recording.
Yeah.
This is a late in the day kind of situation.
Usually we do this first thing in the morning and it's like we get it, you know, get a cup of coffee, have a pastry, you know, pod.
The brain is winding down at this hour.
Today is I hope the brain's not winding down because we've got a lot of work to do.
We got to dip into the memory banks.
This is something that came from one of the survey results. They said, hey, we like to, for you guys to argue about things.
I like to argue about stuff. I mean, in a, you know, a benevolent kind of, you know, jovial way.
It's best to argue about things that don't matter at all.
Politely
too.
Those are the best arguments.
Perfect for where we are. We're going to rank the windows.
Ranking of windows.
Nope. That's a registered trademark of CBS.
No, okay.
You got to be careful with that.
All right. Sorry.
We're going to make an ordered list. We're ordered listing the windows.
What kind of pun can we come up with here for this? Like the window.
Eyes on windows.
Window blinds. Pain. What do we got?
Bringing the window pain.
Shade.
P-A-Y-N-E.
Double pain. Man, windows are boring.
Yeah, windows are boring.
There's really no good window terminology.
There's a lot of them.
Around which to build a pun.
What was your first windows, Brad?
3-1.
Yeah, me too. I had 3-0 actually for a little bit of my way.
Okay. Well, nothing against you, but that's a little disappointing because I assumed when we talked about this topic that you would have used like the early ass one, like the real first Windows.
I don't think many people used the first Windows.
Was it just not that widespread? Because you definitely predate me by like you were using stuff like what, late 80s?
Well,
like you were there at the time the Windows 1.0 was coming out, right?
So late 80s, I was playing games on like hand-me-down computers.
Okay.
But it was basically just like a way for me to play games.
Okay.
Like I was playing M1 Tank Platoon and stuff like that.
So I wonder if it's the case that Windows 1 and 2 were just not popular enough for many people to have used them?
So my dad was using ACT for his business. ACT is a contact manager. It's like what Salesforce was before Salesforce.
Okay.
And he was using DOS. Like all of his productivity stuff was DOS based until Windows 3.0 came out or 3.1 really came out. And then he upgraded because up until that point, he like wouldn't let me plug mice into the computers because like that's for playing games. Don't put that garbage on here.
What did his productivity stuff look like in DOS? Because I mean, the reason I ask is I've been, you know, we're both in the Unix world to some degree at this point, and I've been messing around with TMUX a lot lately. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like a terminal. I think multiplexer is what you would call it.
Yes, you can have multiple terminal
windows. Yeah, it's a way to split one kind of physical, quote unquote, terminal window into multiple panes. Like was his DOS-based stuff like that? Like kind of a quasi-graphical sort of.
Do you remember that file manager that was in DOS 5, the one that you
vaguely?
It was probably 4 or 16 colors. ACT was. And like they used the colors for things that looked like window bars, but you just couldn't, there was nothing to alt-tab to, right? There were no other windows running in the background.
Okay.
And it was way lower resolution. It was probably CGA or EGA.
So it's not like a modular 320 thing.
By 240 or something
like
that.
Not doing multiple things at one time.
Well, no. Like he had, ACT, he used a contact manager. So it was like a weird thing where there was like a word processor that you could use to write letters and then mail merge that to your contact list. And you could make like a mailing that would go out to subsets, and then he would print it and fold it up and put it in envelopes and send it out to people with like, hey, here's our deals for this month or whatever.
Paper.
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird time.
Yeah. And then Windows came along. And immediately made it all better, right?
Oh yeah, everything was better right out of the gate.
Yeah. So Windows 3.1 or 3.1.1?
So 3.1 was the first one.
I think it was regular 3.1 was my first one.
It's funny. We bought two Wangs at Walmart on the day after Christmas. And one of them, identical computers, one of them had Windows 3.1, one of them had 3.11. One of them had 3.0, one of them had 3.1. 3.11 came later. That was when network cards, that was only for people that were networking.
3.11 was Windows for work groups.
Windows for work groups, yeah.
Okay.
I'm making a list of all the Windowses, which I should have done probably before we started this.
So, it's safe to assume. I mean, you want me to try to rattle them off from memory?
Hit me,
in order? So 3.1, 3.11.
Because the most recent one is clearly the best. So like we could just hammer this out and be done.
Well, we need to decide like by today's standards or in historical context. How are we ranking them?
Look,
because like if it's the former, then Windows 10 just wins by default because of course it's better than anything else. But like,
is it though, Brad?
Well, okay, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. Windows 3.1, 3.11.
Yep.
95.
Yep.
Are we going to count NT 3.x? I don't know if we should.
I don't have any experience with Windows NT 3.x.
Okay, that was the one that was NT but had the Windows 3.1 interface.
So yeah, Windows NT 3. Whatever was Windows NT 1.5 for all intents and purposes.
Okay.
But it looked like Windows 3.1, yeah. But it was running the Windows NT kernel.
Right.
And basically none of your shit would work on it. Was the defining characteristic.
Probably a research OS, basically, right?
Yes.
Okay, so 95, we'll skip that NT. I guess 98 probably came before NT4, or probably right around the same time.
I think NT4 came out before 98. Okay,
so maybe NT4, which I don't know about you, but I definitely spent a good year or two on that.
Yes, I used a lot of NT4.
Yeah, and then 98.
Yeah.
And then Windows ME and 2000 were probably around the same time.
About the same time, yeah.
Okay.
I reviewed both of those for Maximum PC.
Wow. Man, I wonder if I could. Are those reviews findable? Are they on a website somewhere?
Books.google.com.
Okay. Well, we'll check on that later. I would love to read those reviews. That's how I'd like to spend my time. All right. ME, 2000. XP would have been next, right?
XP, yep.
XP, then Vista.
I feel like XP OSR SP2 is also like a separate Windows.
Right.
Vista for sure.
So Vista after XP. And then 8 and then 10.
Right? Oh no, you forgot one.
Oh, 7.
7.
Sorry. Vista, 7, 8, 10.
Yeah. So that is I think it's safe to bump off Windows 3.0. I think we can get rid of Windows for workgroups too. I don't think we have to include that on the definitive ranking.
What is our final output here? Do we want a list of the whole list of Windows in order?
I think,
in a ranked order, or do we just want like a top 5, or what are we doing?
Well, there's only 12.
Okay.
How long could this take?
I don't know. It could take a while.
It's not like we have to go through and like list all of the Windowses, describe them a little bit over a period of like 3 or 4 days, and then break down into a 10 top 10
could
list.
Could take upwards of 20 hours.
That seems like I got the time. Let's go. Oh, let's do this.
Be here all night.
You want to just go in order?
Sure.
Windows 3.1 wasn't very good.
No.
It seemed good at the time.
I mean, it was what we had.
Yeah,
unless you were on a Mac, which is a very different situation.
Yeah, like it was compared to the people that had Macs, Windows 3.1
was garbage,
complete garbage,
terrible.
Now, that was the first Windows that I was able to use Photoshop on.
Okay,
pretty good. Photoshop was pretty good.
Really,
Photoshop 3, I think, is what I was using
I don't think I realized Photoshop was commercially available on Windows 3.1.
Yeah,
like I know it's old. I know it's because I know it came out of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, because John Knoll.
Right.
That's why John Knoll has credit on that and
right.
Star Wars.
Right.
Star Wars.
But I didn't know it was out for just people to buy at that point.
So we had my parents' business. We had a dye sub printer that you could print onto like iron-ons, like high quality iron-ons. So we'd print T-shirts with photos on them and sell them to people.
Wow.
And you made those. The only way you could scale the photos at the time was with Photoshop.
Okay.
It was like PaintShop Pro.
Sure.
Didn't exist then.
PaintShop Pro.
Yeah, those are good times.
Did you boot straight into Windows? Did you put Win in your autoexec.bat?
Look, on that computer, yes.
Okay.
On my computer, I had I was the guy that you came to on the dorm floor if you wanted like a boot disk that would make TIE Fighter work on your computer.
Sure.
I could hook you up.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So Windows 3.1, it didn't have a desktop. There was no start button.
No.
If you've never seen Windows 3.1, go back and look at it. You wouldn't recognize it. It's basically like a window with some shortcuts to DOS programs, because that was all that there was for it when it launched.
Program Manager. Remember that?
Yeah, Program Manager.
Like, that was the shell, right? That was the graphical shell.
Eventually became Explorer.exe.
If you can even call that a shell.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think, because you pretty much ran everything in Windows 3.1 full screen, right? Like, there was kind of nothing you didn't maximize.
You could hit the tile button.
Well, you could. Yeah, sure. But,
yeah.
But it didn't have a proper desktop. Like, you weren't really working with like objects.
You could open file manager, but there was no Windows at that point. Windows didn't do anything weird with your file system. It was single user, so there's no there's no users file with different files for different users. No permissions on the machine, so anybody could do whatever the hell they wanted.
Right.
When you opened up file manager, you saw a C:. And if you were lucky enough, you had two drives, you saw D:.
Yeah.
And then probably a little picture of a floppy disk.
Yeah.
And or maybe two. A CD-ROM.
If you had a 5.25 and a 3.5.
Wow.
You didn't?
No.
Really?
I don't think I ever had a 5.25.
Oh my God. Yeah. Our first family computer had both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
First and only, I should say. Like, we just had that one.
We were just DDHD is what we were. Yeah. 3.5 inch.
Sure.
Okay. So Windows 3.1. Top of the list, also bottom of the list for right now.
I started to say good first effort, but no, it really wasn't very good at all.
I mean, it was missing some, it didn't have font managers. There was all sorts of weird stuff
It didn't have, do you remember Trumpet Windsock?
Oh yeah, I paid $100 for a copy of Trumpet Windsock.
It did not have its own built-in TCP/IP stack.
Yeah, it's funny.
Not that anybody was getting on the internet at that time.
Well, the box that I got this company would package up that software, Trumpet Windsock Navigator, all the dialer, all the stuff that you needed to get online. And I ordered that and Windows 95 at the same time.
Oops.
And Windows 95, they both showed up on the same day.
Oops.
And I was like, shit. I installed Windows. I was like, this is awesome. I put this Windsock stuff on here. Get on the internet. I installed it and immediately jacked up the entire dialer system on Windows 95 and had to reinstall Windows as the second thing I did on Windows 95.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Windows 95.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yes. Are we just passing 3.1.1? It's kind of the same thing. It's the same thing.
3.1.1 basically is 3.1 with some networking built in.
Probably just... group those together.
I'll put slash 3.11.
I spent months reading about Windows 95 in computer magazines. I was so excited for that thing.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
People lined up.
Oh, I mean, I remember the cultural zeitgeist. They bought that Rolling Stones song.
Yeah. The Brian Eno did the startup sound. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun, dun. It was the most expensive commercial music ever made.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got royalty. I can't remember. There was an article about it in Rolling Stone or something.
Wow.
But I feel like he got royalties on every copy of Windows. There's a fucking Weezer video on the disc.
There's the Weezer. I think it's Buddy Holly. There's an Edie Brickell video on there.
That's only on the later versions, I think.
I got a day one.
You got a day one?
Yeah, we bought a day one.
Did you get a CD or did you get
CD,
discs?
CD.
Oh.
I doubt I'm sure the floppy version didn't come with any of this stuff.
No, I'm sure.
It was the Weezer. It was Edie Brickell. I believe there was a sword fight, or there was some kind of clip from Rob Roy.
Yeah,
the Liam Neeson film.
Yep. Then these, just to be clear, these videos were maybe 120 by 200 pixels or something like that. They were real low res.
Yeah. Yes. Bad stuff. I don't even know what codec that might possibly have been using.
But okay, so here's things that Windows 95 didn't have.
Okay.
A web browser.
Yeah, but.
You didn't have, no, I'm just saying, there was nothing built in.
You're right. I'm already in judgmental mode here. I don't know that I can hold that against them.
Oh, no, I don't think this is just a novelty, a historical novelty for me.
Sure.
Can you imagine firing up a new operating system on a computer and not having a web browser?
No, I definitely can't. But also, how did I get Netscape onto that machine?
You grabbed an FTP client from your shell using Kermit or something like that.
I don't remember doing that.
Or used Links.
I was that savvy at that time. I don't know.
Maybe you got a floppy from somebody down the street.
Maybe my ISP gave us a floppy disk install of Netscape Navigator. CD-ROM or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget.
You downloaded it from AOL before you switched over to a real ISP.
Yes.
Windows 95 was a big deal. Cultural zeitgeist aside, you had a desktop.
Yeah.
So you had a place to store files.
That was the thing that I was so excited about, was the idea that you could drag a file right onto a desktop and just move it around wherever you wanted to. I guess I was easily amused, but
also there wasn't an option to boot straight into DOS anymore.
Right.
With Windows 3.1, you had to actively choose by putting win in the autoexec.bat file to launch Windows. With this, there's no Windows. It had that little shutdown screen. It was like, hey,
it's
safe to power off your PC now.
Right.
Because PCs used to have physical clicky buttons on the front and the back.
Remember how gross and low res that shutdown screen looked?
Oh, yeah.
And the startup screen, because they were both just running in probably VGA mode.
Probably.
Because it was before.
Probably less than VGA mode.
Probably because it must have been before the graphics card driver loaded in.
Yeah,
or
it was running
say.
In DOS mode.
Yeah, yeah, it was whatever low res VGA mode they could draw to the screen in.
Do you remember people used to argue about whether Windows 95 was a shell or an operating system?
I don't think I was in quite that.
Oh yeah,
level of nerdiness to be exposed to that kind of argument.
But. So when you went to the screwdriver shop, they'd always just this is just a shell that runs on top of DOS. This is more Microsoft bullshit.
I wish I had known those gray beards back then.
Oh, that was not a good time.
My life might have taken a very different turn.
Okay, I'm going to put something controversial out here.
Yeah,
I think Windows 95 better than Windows 3.1.
I think I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I think I can get down with that. I'm gonna say up front that nostalgia is gonna weigh fairly heavy in my judgments.
When was the last time you used Windows 95? It felt fast too. That was the other thing.
Sure.
I was on
I guess so.
I was on like a Pentium 60 or something at that point. Yeah. And I was like, this is pretty speedy.
Yeah, I was on I think I spent most of my time on a Pentium 75 in Windows 95. So
it's a nice computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
16 megabytes of RAM.
16 megabytes?
16 meg. I think that's right. Or maybe it was 8.
I had 8.
It might have been 8. I can't remember.
We were still in the backlash of the Taiwanese memory manufacturer fire there. We were still digging out of that hole.
I remember, I'm trying to think. I feel like my overall impression of Windows 95 was pretty positive.
In
comparison to 95 and just like generally the things that it lets you do.
Well, so there were some problems with Windows 95.
Yeah.
Out of the box, the OSR-1 version, whatever the initial release was,
right.
Didn't support FAT32.
That's right.
So if you OSR, had a drive,
OSR2 was the big, like, Windows 95 OSR2 was like the actual good Windows 95. Right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Because, God, I totally forgot. You're right. They didn't add FAT32. There was something else that added, and I forget what it was.
Internet Explorer came with it.
With OSR2?
With OSR2.
Okay.
That was the first thing. That was the first version. And you couldn't get OSR2 at the store. So Microsoft, if you went and bought a boxed copy of Windows 95, you would get the old version. There was no Windows update at this point.
Oh, no, totally.
Yeah. You couldn't update. Like, you had to download patches. You had to go to a knowledge base article and click a download button.
Do you remember? And I think it was on 95 that they bundled OS updates with the web browser, with Internet Explorer.
That?
You would install the new Internet Explorer and reboot or whatever, and your shell would be different. Like, literally the behavior of the desktop itself would change because they would update the operating system along with the install of the web browser.
Well, I want to say Windows Update was a thing you could download eventually for Windows 95.
Is it really? Are you sure?
I'm not. It turns out this is a thing that's like impossible to search for.
I feel like I remember the system update process being very scattershot for a long time.
It may have become I know Windows Update was in Windows 98.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
When did Windows Update come out? June 2005.
Wait.
But it only supported... there's a Wikipedia article for Windows Update. I should have known. Windows Update came out in June of 2005. It was a web app.
For XP?
With the launch of Windows 98.
Oh, wait, what?
Sorry.
In 2005. Nope,
this is bad information.
That was 1998. 2005 must have been an XP thing.
It was, 98. Did I say 2008?
You said 2005.
Hmm. Wow, so Windows Update, Windows 98, and it was supported Windows 90X and the entire Windows NT family. And
so it came out way later, 498, is that what you're saying?
I'd say it was backported to Windows 98.
Okay, yeah. At the time when 95 and 98 were new, that didn't exist.
No, I thought it shipped with Windows 98.
I don't think so. I really don't.
It may have just been a web app. Yeah, it was introduced as a web app with the launch of Windows 98 and offered additional desktop themes, games, device drivers, and things such as NetMeeting.
Okay, but it probably wasn't automated in any way.
It was not automated. You had to go hit a button.
It was just like, here's all the stuff you need. Download this and run it.
Yeah, you can get some... You get what was that? The tools thing?
Plus?
No. Oh, wow. Plus.
You remember Plus?
Yeah, you got Pinball.
Oh, are you talking about Power Tools?
Power Tools, yeah.
Power Tools was great.
It was backported to Windows 95 and NT4.
Okay.
So no way to update, basically, except for manually update.
Yeah, okay. Windows 95 was a mess. I don't remember which Internet Explorer it was, but there was one that would, and it was subtle. It wasn't a big change, but it was like just little things around
it. It put the search bar on your taskbar, the internet search bar.
Did it?
Yeah.
You could
type a URL into the bar in your task. The internet was very important.
You know what it was HTML on the desktop. There was a period. Active desktop. There was a period where you could the desktop was technically a web page.
We got to talk about widgets at some point,
man. This is ugh.
I
feel 95 and 98 are rapidly falling down my list as we talk about this.
98
stuff.
Was the one that had active desktop stuff. That came out with 98. Post OSR2.
Yes, I think it was built into 98, but it also got grafted onto 95 if you installed like IE6, 5.
It was probably earlier than that.
Probably earlier than IE6. Three. Three, maybe? Might have been three.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so...
That stuff was bad.
Still, even with all that, Windows 95 better than Windows 3.1.
Yes,
No doubt in my mind.
Sure.
Windows...
98 better than 95?
Well, wait, hold on. You're jumping ahead. On October 24th, 1996, Windows NT 4.0 was released.
Really came out that early?
Yes.
I didn't run it until like 98.
That was a good choice because there was no driver support before that point.
Yeah.
So NT4 shipped. It was the first, looked like Windows 95 running the NT kernel, 32-bit software, really stable, multi-user stuff. It was the first Windows that had permissions.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I guess it did have user accounts.
Yeah, you had user accounts. Okay. So you could run multiple people on the same terminal.
Yeah.
All the computer labs at my university used that almost immediately because they could lock us out from doing anything fun.
Great.
We couldn't install any viruses by accident by downloading weird shit, and they could make us not be able to use the web browser on the computer in the lab.
Yeah.
Because, you know, why would you need a web browser? All that aside, it supported OpenGL. So
yes.
You play games.
Yes. Well, some. We're talking about this a little out of order because, like I said, I ran 98 before I ran NT, even though NT came out before 98.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess NT was a little more mature. What I remember is that the DirectX support was really bad in NT4.
Yeah, you'd lose like 30% of your frames.
Not only that, I think it only supported I want to say DX5 might have been happening on 98 at that point, but I think NT only went up through, like, I think DX3 was the highest that NT went.
I feel like DirectX was, I'd swear
there was like a primitive version of DirectX that would work on NT and you could get some support, but not much.
I remember not being able to play Tom Clancy's SSN on Windows NT4.
Right, like newer games did not work. Newer DirectX games definitely did not work, but
yeah.
anything OpenGL did. So all the Quake and derivatives were fine, which was most of what I was playing at that point.
Wow, the first version of DirectX was released in 95.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, so like most normal people didn't run Windows NT, but it was great if you were doing it in a work environment. I don't know where to put this one. This one's tough for me. I mean, multiple users, very important.
I remember there was a little starry sky, like night sky motif on the login window, and I thought that was very cool.
It had a really good startup sound, too.
Yes, it had some good startup sounds.
Yeah.
Or some good system sounds.
Yeah. I felt really cool running Windows NT.
Same. Even though it was kind of ridiculous.
But you know what? I used Windows NT, so I dual booted at that point.
Mm.
And I used NT. It also supported NTFS, which was the first place we probably saw that.
Yeah.
I dual booted Windows 95 and NT4 because I could get NT4 from the school for basically nothing. And I did work, like I did my school work on NT4 and played Quake. And then all the other games were on Windows 95.
That makes sense.
I think this is better than Windows 95.
You're probably right. I mean, I am thinking back on all the limitations it had, but
I mean, I remember having trouble getting a Sound Blaster to work.
Right. Yeah, like the hardware support was a little spottier. Not that it was great in Windows 95 or 98. Like plug and play was a very slow start.
But there was no plug and play in Windows 95, really.
They advertised it. They said there was.
Itsy bitsy.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it worked well. I'm just saying that they claimed it was a feature.
Oh, you know what OS R2 added to? USB support.
Are you sure about that? Because I know that it shipped in 98.
90% okay, on that
one. I know it shipped in 98.
98 definitely had USB support, but I feel like
I think you're right.
I feel like 95 OS R2 had USB support.
I think you might be right. Yeah, 95 had too big an install base for them to not support USB on it, right? They must have.
Yeah. The problem was you couldn't. Here's a thread from Ars Technica from 2001 that says, "Hey, can you actually get USB on Windows 95 OS R2 to work?" It says it supports it, but I can't get anything to work. So on this old Toshiba laptop.
No.
I think NT4, I don't even know
if we've said it. We might as well point out it had basically the same shell as 95.
Yeah.
Same interface.
Yeah. It was more like Windows 98.
Because it had
all the IE enhancements and all that stuff built in. So I guess the question is, are we looking at like our personal preferences? Or are we looking at historical legacy here?
I would lean toward personal.
Okay.
Like, I guess I like NT better. Like, I was just a big nerd and liked the idea of running like a high performance, slightly more secure operating system.
Yeah, it felt like you had a pickup truck instead of like a Civic.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But it had its drawbacks. It wasn't.
I mean, if we're talking about historical, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with you. I think this should be personal. I liked Windows NT4.
Yeah.
I vote to put it above the Windows 95 on the list.
Okay. Sure. I could get behind that. What about 98, though?
Well, now we're getting into a sticky situation. This is when the dual booting question got difficult.
Why?
Because Windows 98, pretty good.
Okay.
This is like Windows 98. I had a K6 that had USB ports on the motherboard for the first time.
Yeah.
You could actually use the USB ports in Windows 98.
Sure. Oh, not in NT.
Not in NT.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, you could use them in. That's a good question. It probably supported USB, but I don't know. I don't know what it would have done. DirectX on Windows 98 really hit some strides. That's there. True. That's when we hit like DX5.
You're right. As like a just a game playing platform, which is really what I used computers for at that time.
I mean, the thing about Windows 98 is most of the things you think about Windows 95 as being good, you're really thinking about Windows 98.
So I actually, this thought just hit me as you were saying that. Like, that's kind of the history of Windows, right? Like, major new version kind of sucks. Follow-up mature version is the one that's actually good.
This is a theme that we can continue talking about for the rest of this episode. Yeah,
98 to 95.
Yeah, 95 was cool.
XP to 2000. Although yeah. 2000 was not bad.
2000 was great.
You know, 7 to Vista, 10 to 8. Like, yeah. It's kind of... They're basically on a leapfrog schedule, right? Of bad Windows, good Windows.
Yeah, so it's like the same people made from the same people who brought you Star Trek.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would argue that Windows 98 probably the best Windows we've seen yet here. Because look, it was built in.
I mean, I love the idea of a nice unified 32-bit kernel, even though it didn't really affect what I was doing that much. But I just liked the idea that the resources were more efficiently managed than X, Y, and Z.
Windows 98 supported stuff like ACPI.
But you're right, 98 had better support for stuff you actually wanted to.
Yeah, FAT32 was built in.
Yeah,
you went to the store, you bought a copy off the shelf, you knew it was going to work with your hardware.
Yeah.
If you had a USB printer, probably that's all the devices. Like, I would say at that point, we probably had USB printers and maybe USB modems, but I feel like those were mostly serial.
USB modems. I'm trying to think. God, really? I don't know.
What was the first USB device? Like, at that point, remember, this is around the time I got that first Rio MP3 player, yeah. And it connected with the parallel port.
I'm trying to think. I cannot remember, like, what early USB devices I was even using.
I remember when I got to Maximum PC, I saw the first thumb drive I ever saw. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
Okay.
And
so you were
64 megabytes in 2000.
Like you were seeing that stuff in the workplace. You probably got exposed to a lot more, like a much broader range of devices than I did. Like I was still limited to like what I couldn't afford to buy and what they had at the Walmart.
So one of the first things they did in the last couple of issues before I started at Maximum PC was try to connect 255 devices to one USB bus.
Wow.
Because like that's the theoretical maximum. They wanted to see what happened. It didn't go well.
That's a pretty good experiment.
A. B. It was really hard for them to find 255 distinct USB devices.
I could see that for sure. Because everything, you know, like your gamepad used a game port or like the serial.
The game port on the back of your sound card. Yeah.
Printers use parallel ports.
Yep. Keyboard and mouse had PS2 ports.
Yeah, PS2 if you were lucky.
Yeah, I guess so. Because they had those fat.
Right. The gigantic AT
ports or whatever.
Earlier than that. My motherboard now has PS2 ports on it. And so does mine. I don't know why. I don't know why they keep putting those things on there.
Huh.
Like, because they've had adapters to USB for years. Like, I don't know why you can't just devote that, you know, back panel space to more USB ports.
Well, so the hardcore game people.
Oh, if it's tied directly into
the PS2 is tied directly into the UARTs or something. Okay. And they're into the DMI bus.
Doesn't it pull at a much lower rate, though?
It pulls at a lower rate, but there's lower latency, I think. I don't know. That may or may not be right.
I remember using third-party utilities around this time, like right around the time of like Windows 98 and 2000, where you could increase the pulling rate on your PS2 port. Get better mouse sensitivity.
Yeah, but you're playing Quake 2 at that point, so it didn't matter. It's 10 hertz no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where, like, I feel like Windows 98, pretty good Windows.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe the best of the 16-bit Windows.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I didn't, well, I don't know if it's time to skip ahead to ME or me. What do you prefer?
They said Millennium Edition is what it stood for.
Well, I know what it stood for, but I mean, how did they pronounce it?
ME. Always ME. Is that the right talk to Microsoft branding? People.
Okay.
They don't talk about it anymore.
I'm sure they don't. I barely used it. I think I might have installed a pirated copy once.
So, okay, let's say Windows 98, top of the list. And then so
went
far.
Back to my actually legit copy of Windows 2000.
Yeah. Top of the list for Windows 98. That 98? Seems fair.
Of those three?
Yeah. Right now, our order, if you're following along at home.
Oh, you mean the total?
I'm just
the full list.
I'm slotting these in as we go.
As of right now, Windows 98 is the best Windows ever made.
That's my proposition.
Yes, you're right. It's the right call. I mean, like, I don't like the underpinnings of Windows 98 because it was that same messy clutch of DOS and a weird hybrid kernel. But you're right. It did so many more things.
It was not a reskin. Like it pulled all of the stuff that went into later OEM only versions of Windows 95 into a commercially available release that enthusiasts could get their
hands on. Windows 95 and made it good.
Yeah.
Like exactly. In a well-rounded way.
Yeah.
You're right. So 98, I'm okay with 98 over NT.
Now the thing I'm having trouble, and this was the first, I reviewed Windows ME in like October of 2000 for Maximum PC. I have no idea. I can't remember at all what it added.
Windows ME?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be useless here because, like I said, I think I tried it for like a weekend or something, and I was like, ah, fuck this. Windows 2000.
Yeah, so it had the quick launch bar.
Actually, can you just to make sure I'm not misremembering, what are the release dates for ME and 2000?
So Windows ME is June 19th, 2000. Okay. Oh, yeah. Windows 2000 might be before it, actually.
Yeah, that okay. I want to make sure I'm right about that I was already running 2000 at that time.
Windows 2000 came out in February of the same year.
Right.
Okay. So I didn't review Windows 2000. I must have done that for Ars Technica.
Okay. So I guess I do remember more or less accurately that. That's why I completely like disregarded Windows ME because I was like, why the hell would I run another bolt-on DOS?
Everything's better over here. So, okay.
2000 is an actual usable version of NT.
Forget it. We're not talking about ME yet. Back in your box, Windows ME.
Is ME just like at the bottom of the list or what are we doing?
No, we're doing this in chronological order. So we got to do Windows 2000 first.
I see.
Here is what we got. They added NTFS 3.0, encrypting file system, accessibility tools, support for more languages, active. This is where Active Directory made its first appearance.
Oh, good.
Everybody loves Active Directory.
Wonderful, yeah.
It's the first one that they had multiple versions of. So you could buy Pro Server, Advanced Server, and Data Center Server.
Interesting. Because it was, to be clear, I mean, it was the successor to NT4.
Yeah, Windows 2000, the long legacy from Windows 3.5, NT 3.51 to 4 to this.
And it was that interesting transition where they went from, you know, NT was the business oriented, the enterprise OS.
Yes.
And 95, 90X was the home OS, but then they transitioned NT into their unified like consumer. Well, I guess that's why they had the tiers, right? Instead of having the DOS-based 90X stuff and the NT
2000
for business, they just had one branded product, but tiers that catered to different markets.
Well, and I think it was becoming clear that the 32-bit, 16-bit, 32-bit hybrid OSs, which is what Windows 95, 98, and ME were, probably didn't have legs.
Oh, for sure.
Because remember, I think you could do four gigs of memory was the theoretical max on a 16-bit OS.
I think you're right.
But in reality, you only got like 2.58 or something like 2.62 or something like that because of the way the DMA.
I wish I remember that stuff better. I want to say weren't there limitations around the way that like virtual memory worked and like the way you could address memory or I forget. I'm speaking out of my depth.
Yeah,
here,
no, you're right. Your total amount of memory plus system memory, is it really 4 gigabytes?
I'm not talking about physical memory here.
Oh, you're talking about physical plus virtual.
Like there were just maybe it was just the legacy of DOS that they were locked into like a outdated sort of virtual memory scheme or something. I remember something along those lines.
Well, yeah, the problem was this is from I should be keeping these tabs open so I can dump the links in the show notes. But the point was Windows had a 4 gigabyte memory limit, which meant 32-bit applications could only address 4 gigabytes of memory.
Right.
This was published in 2004, so this wasn't really a problem probably in 99 or 2000, but more 2002, 2003, 2004.
I'm reaching through a bunch of dusty cobwebs right now, but was there something about protected memory? Does that make sense?
That is a different thing, as I recall.
Okay.
I don't remember what that was.
There's just a jumble of terms in my head that I remember there were like significant limitations on the memory system. As a legacy of being kind of bound to DOS, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, so
that's why they needed to get on the native 32-bit kernel.
The thing you're thinking about is the memory managers, HiMem.sys and EMM386 could only handle certain amounts of memory
because they were based on
processors that you could only do 640K of memory in.
Right. So they needed to get away from that archaic.
I think that's what it was.
Memory scheme.
Yeah. So, but that stuff was taken care of by Windows 98, presumably. The problem was the 32-bit operating systems could only address up to 4 gigs of memory because 32 bits is a like 2 to the power of 32 is 4.2 billion and change.
Well, there had to be some other limitation besides that, right? Because even 2000 and XP were 32-bit. For years, right?
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't think
it was until we moved to 64-bit with Windows XP.
Right, there wasn't a 64-bit Windows until
XP 64.
Well, that was like later in XP's lifespan.
It was almost about the time Vista came out.
Yeah, so even those first couple of NT releases were 32-bit.
Okay, so there's a different memory limitation. So I feel like there's whatever.
We're lost in the weeds here. We don't have to.
Yeah, the memory. There were problems with memory.
The point is, like Windows ME. Oh, did you find it?
Windows 98 is not designed to handle more than 1 gigabyte of RAM without challenges.
There it is.
Without changes.
Well, there's one at least.
Yeah. And you could buy memory compressors that would compress the RAM.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Did you ever use one of those? Like RAM doublers? Remember?
They
like,
didn't
like,
work. They didn't do
like
anything.
Like it felt, I never tried, like, of course I never tried one. It sounded like digital snake oil.
It was digital snake oil. We tested them at Maximum PC. They did not do anything. Yeah. It made your computer slower in many cases.
Yes, that's what I assumed it would.
Okay.
Anyway, the reason I bring all that stuff up is arguably Windows ME shouldn't have existed? Or is it too aggressive to think that everybody could have gotten onto Windows 2000 at that time?
I think that...
because the hardware requirements were maybe a little too stiff for some people.
So the thing to remember about Windows is that at the time, the commercial retail sales of Windows were an insignificant fraction of the total sales of Windows with new PCs.
They were just...
because they were selling so many PCs back then every year that like the manufacturer... my understanding is that the manufacturers wanted a new version of Windows because when Windows 98 came out, all these people with two-year-old computers came to Best Buy and were like, and Compaq and HP and Gateway, and were like, hey, we heard there's a new Windows. We got to get a new computer.
I wonder how many people back then didn't even realize like that they just kind of their conception of Windows was that to get the new Windows, you needed a new computer.
Almost all of them is the answer.
Yikes.
So here we go. Windows ME came out. HP, Compaq, all those guys dumped it on their computers. Fresh new logos on the boxes at Best Buy and CompUSA and all that stuff.
From a consumer standpoint, I don't know that refutes my argument that it shouldn't have existed.
Well, I mean, the hardware was advancing at that point so fast that like... these were probably the first machines that people got 3D accelerators with, like at retail. So you could get like a ATI Radeon would ship in some of these machines.
Using the Radeon name at that time?
Yeah, that launched in June of 2000.
Really?
Or it may have launched a little bit later, but they were, that's when I reviewed that. It was the June 2000.
So I'm trying to think like probably the very first 3D accelerators were like 95, and then 3DFX really blew up in, I think, 96.
96
is when the Voodoo got big.
When GLQuake came out, the Voodoo got big.
So,
and then Riva TNT.
TNT and TNT 2 were like 98, 99-ish.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're probably right about the time that they were getting actually bundled into retail.
Yeah, so you would see Riva 128s and TNT 2s
in commercially
available machines, like starting in 98, rather than integrated.
So there's probably an argument that like there was a hardware spec that Windows ME made sense for.
I mean,
I don't know how demanding Windows 2000 was at the time.
It wasn't. Maybe needed more memory.
Okay,
so that was probably the define. Like probably they were selling like. I can't even remember what the amount of memory a machine would have had at that point. It would probably been like 256 megs.
That sounds right. Gosh,
I should have brought old Maximum PCs over for this. This would have been fun. But the point is, they got rid of DOS with Windows ME, so you couldn't.
Wait, did they?
Yeah, you couldn't exit out of Windows at that point anymore.
Okay,
and go to a DOS prompt. You could just run a command line from inside Windows 9.
Maybe I'm being a little too hard on ME then, because I thought it was still bound up and all that stuff.
Well, that was kind of a not feature, because like it didn't hurt. DOS wasn't hurting anybody, Brad. It wasn't a bad guy.
Well, I mean, I was under the impression that running on top of DOS is part of what was constraining.
No, that was just shit they said. Mm. And none of that mattered. Mm. The point is you couldn't shell out and play TIE Fighter anymore.
Yeah.
You had to load it inside Windows ME. So that stuff all went away. Yeah. I think that's around the time DOSBox development started.
That would make sense.
Interestingly enough.
That would make sense.
With that and XP coming.
I just don't know much about ME.
So it shipped with IE 5.5, Windows Media Player 7, and you got Windows Movie Maker with it, which was the first free video editor that I ever saw.
Okay.
I don't know how you got video onto the computer, but you know, that's a different problem for a different day. Probably some Matrox card. And it incorporated some of the stuff that they learned. Like it was designed to be an easier onboard than Windows 98 was, basically. And Windows 2000 was a nightmare install process. It was really hard.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was like they asked you a bunch of questions. It. Well, you had to repartition your hard drive because it needed NTFS.
Oh, right, yeah.
I guess
that's the type of stuff I've always enjoyed the most because
you're a huge nerd like me.
It makes you learn a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
I would put ME pretty low.
So hold on. We got to put Windows 2000 down first. You think Windows 2000 is above 98?
For me, yes, absolutely. I could not get onto it fast enough because it was what I liked about NT4, but in a mostly usable consumer-oriented OS.
And it supported full DirectX.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like it was usable as a full... it could be your own only Windows.
For the most part.
Basically.
Like, I feel like when Windows 2000 came out, it became my primary Windows. That's exactly, and I started booting over.
That's exactly it.
Less.
Yes. I don't think I even dual booted at that point. I think Windows 2000 was it for me.
So I had Windows 98 because I still had games that wouldn't run right.
God, were there?
You know why I had Windows 98? Because EA's copy protection for review games didn't run on Windows 2000.
I'm pretty sure, if I remember, I was aggressive enough about wanting to get off of the old Windows and get onto this NT-based stuff that I just gave up on whatever didn't work. I'm pretty sure is the direction that I went.
Okay, you're making a strong argument here. I'm going to say...
Like, I wanted the performance. I wanted the efficient use of resources that a modern OS could provide.
So far...
Not to feel like I was, like, you know, bound to this archaic old platform.
So far, we're trending toward every new version of Windows is better than the one that came before. That
is my concern, is kind of how this list is going to net out.
Yeah. You know what? We have Vista coming. Yeah. I think we're going to be okay.
For sure. And 8, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, 8. Oof.
You know what? I maybe don't love XP as much as some people. But we'll get to it.
Wow.
We'll get there.
Wow. Yeah, like Windows 2000 was, it had Windows updates, so when I had to make it Y2K compliant, I could just, it was already Y2K, it came out after Y2K.
Yeah.
I must have been running betas beforehand, probably illicitly obtained betas if I had to guess. Oops, don't tell anybody. Let's put Windows 2000 above Windows 98. And then I'm going to jump straight ahead to Windows ME, and I think that should be below Windows 3.1.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Huh. I don't know. I could see it below 95.
Okay. Why would you put it above Windows 3.1? The first good Windows.
It's kind of the first Windows period.
Yeah, there were Windows before, but you know.
I mean, ME at least had all of the sort of interface evolutions and like kind of incremental improvements of the previous two.
Yep.
Like
it cost $100.
Did it really?
Yeah, they charged money for OSs back then, remember?
I guess that's kind of rough. Well, they still do.
Kind of
like ME. What I'm saying is ME in a vacuum is a better 98, right? Like it's not a bad thing. It's just that
98 was still just fine. It had Windows Update.
I guess you're right.
It had all the DirectXs. Well, it had DOS. You could play TIE Fighter.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, TIE Fighter was still good back then.
Like in my mind, getting off of DOS is an advantage. But when you put it that way, that there were DOS, because you're right, you couldn't just run DOS stuff in Windows very well.
No, it was bad. Especially, God forbid you wanted to try like a DOS thing that ran in a, I don't think you could play Quake on a Windows ME machine because it was a DOS game. It was a DOS Forge 4GW game.
Well, GLQuake was a Windows application though.
Oh, right. Yeah. You could play GLQuake because that's what you would have been playing by then.
I mean, I was a lunatic who kept playing software Quake even after I had a Voodoo.
It was way faster.
Because I had a way higher frame rate.
Yeah, of course. I played better.
Totally.
Transparent water though.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of selling me. When you put it in the context of ME not needing to exist and potentially
making everything worse.
Well, it being a cash grab.
Yeah.
Like if you're saying ME was cranked out, God, you're right. Like, of course it was.
It was cranked out. It came out 6 months after Windows 2000.
And not only that, but only a year and a half after 98? 2 years after 98?
Yeah. Yeah,
there is absolutely no way they couldn't have just kept updating 98, right?
Okay, so it had some hardware support improvements. Let's see if this changes your mind.
Well, I'm not sure if you're advocating for or against it. No.
I'm just giving you information. I'm stirring the pot.
All right.
It added support for faster boot times by getting rid of config.sys and autoexec.bat, treasured legacies of the DOS era.
Ah, yes.
It added generic support for 5-button mice as standard. It added the Windows Image Acquisition API for scanners and digital cameras. It improved power management, suspend resume operations. So it included support for the ACPI S4 sleep state. So probably save some power. It's not a bad thing. And it had USB and FireWire support improvements.
Okay.
It's the only Windows 98, the Windows 90X, that included generic drivers for USB mass storage devices and USB printers.
Okay. That does sound like more than just an update to Windows 98. Like that does kind of justify itself, I guess.
But I still think it's worse than Windows 3.1. 3.1, it introduced File Manager. That's a big thing. Think about all the good times you've had with File Manager, Brad.
Nostalgia is like the one and only argument I have for Windows 3.1. I can't think of a single thing that's actually objectively good about it.
You could print.
Nope.
You could have two windows open at the same time. That was pretty good. CorelDRAW. I used CorelDRAW a lot in Windows 3.1.
I did like the Windows version of King's Quest 6 because it had the higher, it had higher res character portraits. It had super VGA character portraits.
I've never played a King's Quest game.
Really?
No,
man. I was way into Sierra Adventure games, which
I was into Sierra. I played like Tex Murphy and Phantasmagoria and Gabriel Knight and all those later ones, but I didn't play the early ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think it should be above Windows 3.1, but below Windows 95?
I could go either way. You're saying ME should be at the bottom of the list.
I mean, I reviewed it.
Sure. You definitely have got a more authoritative view on it than I do.
Let's see what Past Me said about Windows ME.
Where did I find that review?
Here we go. Google Books, Maximum PC, January 2000. It'd be October 2000, I think. Okay, I found it. This is my review. It's the first Windows review I did for Maximum PC.
This is exciting. How many pages did you?
It got one page.
Wait. In the magazine?
In the magazine.
It was only
Look, we only had 50 pages of content a month.
That's fair. Also, it was the third of these Windows.
Yeah.
It was not exactly Windows 95.
You know what? It's not true. I did the Windows 2000 review as a freelancer.
Okay.
And that was in like 6 months before this.
Okay.
So
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Did you score these reviews?
Yes, they have a number attached. This is back when I still believed in numbers.
Do you want to drop that? Do you want to drop that at the top or?
It's like, what do you think is better? You think this is a top? You think lead with the?
You know what? Actually, characterize your review and then I'll see if I can guess.
Windows. This is on page 82 of the October 2000 Maximum PC.
Okay.
Windows Millennium Edition. We did not call it WinME. Not much more than a Windows 98 refresh.
Wow.
The pluses are easier to use than Windows 98, almost impossible to break. It added System Restore for people who like to break their computers.
Yeah.
Movie Maker, better hardware support. Minuses, no new interface changes, no faster than Windows 98.
Mm.
I gave it a 6.
Out of 10?
Out of 10.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it was $60 for an upgrade. It wasn't $100 for an upgrade.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a reasonable upgrade fee, but that is also kind of an underwhelming upgrade.
It said Windows ME might tempt power users, but the new OS doesn't improve boot times or benchmarks. We recommend that you wait for ME until your next new system purchase. If you do plan to purchase ME, make sure you pick it up before the introductory upgrade price of $60 expires in January. Good advice.
I may have come around to your argument.
Yeah, bottom of the list, man.
Are you pushing for that?
Let's give this one a big flusher.
So I think the thing that brought me around is just the very knowledge that Windows 2000 was already on the market.
For a long time, too.
Yes. Like the fact that you could be running a much better, more modern operating system before this thing even hit the market.
Yeah.
I'm fine with
that. Why would you get this when you could get something good?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Bottom of the list.
You put it in like the sort of business or like value proposition context of should people have paid money for that thing?
Yeah. No.
The answer is probably no.
No. So. Absolutely not. So next up on our list, hold on. How are we doing on time?
Are we done with 2000? Have we, it's currently the top of the list, right?
It's the pinnacle.
Is there anything else we need to say about it? I think we covered it pretty well. Like it was the first like commercial NT. It was the first like NT for regular people.
So the good news is we're almost halfway done with the list of potential Windowses.
Huh.
The bad news is we've been talking for about an hour. It seems like.
Okay. Are we going to take an unprecedented step here?
Do you want to tackle Windows XP first?
Because
I have a novel take on Windows XP. Wow.
Huh. Well, now that you said that, I believe that we're going to have to break for the week.
Oh, man. Oh, people are going to be so upset.
I've watched enough cable television to know how this works.
And then come back after the break.
If you have something novel to say, well, like I said, I don't know that I'm as strong on XP as I think most people are because I bet there's a bunch of people who would say XP was their favorite Windows.
I think at release, XP was pretty bad, would be my take.
Okay, we should get into that.
Yeah,
next week.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
We will be back next week with the continuation of the ranking. No, sorry.
Nope.
The creating an ordered list of Windows.
Yes, that's right. This is orderly. So what do we have right now?
So right now, the standings as we are right now, Windows 2000, number one with a bullet, like hard number one, real good. This is basically Windows prehistory because I don't think Windows history really starts until XP.
Not in its like modern form, for sure. Like that's kind of what I was saying about, you know, 2000 was when they transitioned this newer platform into being something normal people could use.
Yeah. So Windows 98, number two, also pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Windows NT, four, number three.
98 did a lot with a little.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it.
For as sort of like archaic as its innards were.
Think of how plucky it was. You could go out and buy a printer with a USB port. It's one port to rule them all, but also you only used it for printers and maybe mice.
Yeah. You could play Quake and Unreal.
Do we feel good about NT4 being below Windows 98?
Well, you made the, I think you made the push for that.
Yeah. I, you know,
you won me over that. Like I, as much as like NT4 was sort of superior technology, you could just straight up do more with 98.
That's true. I'm very persuasive.
You could, you could do way more with 98. Like I am personally, my preference is all about like sexy, efficient future technology.
Yeah.
But I know the sensible approach is like, what can you do with this operating system?
You know what it was?
In
it was
a practical sense.
NT4 only supported DirectX 3.
Right, that's what
that
I'm saying.
Was as high as it went.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you were missing out on a lot with NT. So I think 98 is fine.
You know, by throwing my words back at me, you've convinced me, Brad.
Yep. That's, yep.
Okay, so Windows 2000, Windows 98, Windows NT4, Windows 95 coming in at number 4.
Okay.
Windows 3.1 at the number 5 slot. And bringing up the rear, Windows Millennium Edition came out after the Millennium.
Yeah.
Why would they, like, by that point, like, if they had named this...
Didn't you say it was, like, July or something?
Yeah, it was like, if they had named it Millennium Edition in 1999 before they realized what a debacle the Millennium bug was going to be...
Yeah.
I could see like calling him, but why would you call it Millennium Edition?
Also, yeah, like the turn of the century just happened 6 months ago. Like, who cares at this point?
It's in the past.
Yeah.
It's the new millennium, man. We're drinking OK Cola over here.
Even the name of Windows ME was an afterthought.
You know what else sucked about Windows ME? The opening startup sound.
Did it?
It was bad.
I don't remember.
It was too short. It wasn't peppy. Wait,
too short did the startup sound for?
No, man, that'd be pretty good.
Then it might have been okay.
Little Nas X did the one for Windows XP. Yeah. So that was pretty. You know what else sucked about Windows ME? The logo. It was like a script M and an E.
Yeah, you're right.
It looked like it was drawn with a crayon by a small child.
Like pastel,
with
I think.
Really good handwriting.
Like, yes, you're right.
It was too fucking friendly.
Yeah, Windows ME, you are bad.
Garbage. Garbo.
Sorry.
Okay.
Dustbin of operating system history.
So that's it for us this week.
Okay.
We'll be back next week with the rest of the Windows.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Hey.
Thanks for bearing with us as we split this thing into two.
We still have surveys up. So if you haven't done it yet, go to survey.content.town. Fill that thing out. Let us know how we're doing. Complain. Feel free. If you've already done it, don't do it again. We only need one from each of you. You get our undying affection either way. But if you haven't filled it out yet, we'd love to hear how you like, whether you like the podcast, whether you don't.
Yeah, it is both encouraging and instructive.
Yes, very good. And on that note, see you next week.